Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
You are listening to Taking Back Monday. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
I'm Aslak Desilawath.
And we're going to get right into it. Tell us, what is your origin story?
Yeah, I started martial arts when I was 12 years old. So I was born and raised in Finland. My father is from Sri Lanka, so I was kind of the odd one out and started to train martial arts as a young kid there. I had about 100 full contact fights. I won the world championships in Detroit, Michigan in the year 2000. And I was coaching in different countries until I injured myself in a way that the doctor said that, well, you better stop fighting and find some other career. I was lucky enough that I had been studying. So I had a smart mother or kind of pushing me to study at the same time, saying that don't just become a martial artist. You need something else as a backup plan. And So I had just finished my master's degree at the Gothenburg University and actually wrote the best thesis there, a master's thesis, and had to start over. My CV was like a white belt in martial arts, a blank, nothing else there than fighting and coaching. But then I had to start with entry-level positions. I noticed that if I apply the same principles as in martial arts, that you are humble to learn, you observe what's happening around you, you are coachable, so you actually advance in your career quite well. And within 18 months of starting my career, so I was already a country manager leading about 30 people in a sales-oriented company. And after that, so I've been 2 times multinational company CEO, 5 board of directors positions. I've done more than 100 keynotes, host my own podcast, and so on. So I just started to applying the same principles for work life as I was used in martial arts dojo.
I absolutely love that because I feel like whenever I talk to former professional, semi-professional, or collegiate athletes, the people who've quote unquote like made it in their sport, those are a lot of the similar attributes that they have. They're humble to learn. They recognize that there's always a chance to get better and that it does take real work to do so, right? And they are maybe very confident in themselves, but that confidence comes because they were coachable, because they did the work that it took to succeed. And yeah, there's probably some like natural talent involved, right? LeBron James isn't LeBron James because he wanted to be. He is because he's naturally gifted. But you can squander that talent really fast. And I love that you took something that was so important to you and reapplied it to your next phase of life.
But I mean, you know, of course, it's natural if you're kind of grown up to it. So you'll learn to work hard. You've kind of understood that you're not at your best every day, but then you also learn to kind of develop that. So I talk about like similar things in work life. That let's say that you need 1 minute break. In a fight, you have those rounds and you have 1 minute break and you need to come out as a different person. And that's what we need in work life as well. Or you have seasons when you have tournaments, when you're training super hard to be at your peak at the tournament, and then you rest after that. And you can apply the same for work life. And I think one of the best things that I learned from my master was that every hour you kind of work on your body, you need to kind of repair your mind and kind of recover from it. So when you push hard, so you own yourself recovery. And I do the same with work life. So if I have a super stressful situation, so I believe that I own to my mind and like my kind of a body to recover from that, even if in martial arts it was that my body was the one that I was spending the energy for. And with those kind of principles, then it just is normal for you to kind of take care of yourself, but push yourself hard to learn. And if you're ambitious at the same time, so I think only good things can come out of that.
There's almost and you can correct me if I'm misinterpreting this, but there's almost a layer of true intentionality behind what you're talking about, because it's not just like, so I'm an American and we have the well-deserved stereotype of pushing ourselves to the point of burnout and having no work-life balance and all of that. And I have found myself in times where it's like, okay, I've got to work 60 hours a week, nights and weekends, no sleep, you know, glued to my computer because I have a project due. And then I immediately start the same cycle all over again with no intentionality of balancing that time with an intentional decision to reset.
Yeah, and I agree. And that's hard. And I mean, it comes from maybe you're very ambitious and you're surrounded by people who do that. But what I'm talking about and what I learned was the kind of controlling your energy. So you get better results if you have more energy or you're more focused and don't waste your energy in stupid things. So when we take this small break, so if you're doom scrolling your Instagram or something else, so you're actually wasting more energy during the break rather than recovering. So it's more like deliberately deciding, what do I do now? And of course, sometimes you need to work long hours, but when you don't, so how do you recover your best? And I mean, being physically fit, it helps you, sleeping well helps you. And when you're kind of can focus and concentrate better, you get better results. So to me, then I love that kind of life more, but I do understand when you have high pressure and you want to kind of get results. So sometimes you see that working hard is the only way to go. I'm not saying that you shouldn't work hard, but I'm just saying that work smart at the same time. That sometimes you just don't have the energy and then you should rest and come back when you have the energy.
Yeah, there's been plenty of times where I pulled a quote unquote all-nighter where I was basically on my computer late and then I got back to the work that I did later that night. And I was like, the next day, I'm like, oh, none of this is usable because I wasn't really at my best self and I had to redo it all anyway. And wouldn't I have been better off just going to sleep and getting up in the morning and being fresh?
Yeah, it has happened to me plenty of times as well. But then I try to learn from those things and then kind of next time not to do the same mistake. And I think that's, again, if you're a full contact fighter like I was, so you don't want to repeat your mistakes. It hurts always if you get punched in your face. So you really want to learn and become better. So I'm just advising and coaching executives as well to kind of learn from those moments when you kind of realize afterwards that I wasn't at my best. I shouldn't have done that. So the question is like, okay, next time when you're in the same situation, what are you going to do differently?
So if someone is hearing this and they're saying to themselves, oh no, I am a white belt in this conversation and I need to learn from a master, take us through that. What is the first thing that you would have them do in order to start down this path of understanding how can they take their 1 minute break and come out a different person?
Yeah. I think first is to kind of admit the mistakes. When you start as a white belt, so you understand that you're there to kind of learn and everything will be awkward in the beginning. But you start kind of feeling that, hey, that's the better way to go. I'm sure there's plenty of books and courses out there which will teach you what you should do. But first is to kind of admit to yourself if you're not applying those principles that you've learned. I remember we had this kind of test with martial arts that we were sitting kind of without a chair called in a horse stance for 4 hours. So you're kind of your legs are trembling and it's very demanding exercise. And after that, we were training this kind of Tai Chi, which is then slow movement, very controlled movement, but constantly moving. And one of us then was, we were on a kind of a wooden floor and one of us kind of hit the heel on the floor and there was kind of a loud sound. The master came to us and said that, hey, who made this gong sound very angrily? That why aren't you focusing now when you were supposed to move with full control? And then he was saying that the mistakes you are doing now in your muscles will stay there for 10 years before the cell is renewed. And the same principle applies as, for example, for leadership when you're doing so. If you mistreat people when you are tired or angry, so they have the feeling, a bad feeling, and it can last for years and you cannot replace that. So to me, the white belt starts from like admitting when you do these mistakes and then go immediately apologize to people or even to yourself that, hey, like you were saying there, that if you pull an all-nighter, so you really have to apologize to yourself and say, I'm sorry, I made the mistakes. And only that you start learning and kind of getting to the higher belts when you kind of first admit that you're a white belt, but it's okay. Next time you won't do the same mistake.
A lot of the people who listen to this show are leaders of people. They are people who, and particularly, you know, the type of audience that tends to listen to this show agrees with the premise, which is that our belief that Sunday scaries are a choice, but not the choice of the individual contributor. It's the choice of the leader who is in charge, and that they have the mandate and the responsibility and the power to create great work environments where their teams don't hate their Monday mornings and where they have the ability to high perform because the leader has created that environment. So if we have leaders listening to this, which I would assume that we do, and they are thinking to themselves, okay, I have made a 10-year cellular mistake, as you just mentioned. What? How do we start down this path of, you know, I'm admitting my mistakes, right? How do we start down this path of repairing that if we're leaders who are curious, we're willing to do the inner work, and we want to grow not only ourselves, but our teams?
Yeah. But again, like if you first can admit it to yourself, so you can go to the people and say that, hey, I believe I made a mistake, let's say yesterday or last week, that has a huge impact on how I feel. So I believe that you might feel bad too. And then you start the conversation. I think I have no statistics, but 9 out of 10 times at least you were right. And even the feeling that they had was worse. In that 1 out of 10 times when they're saying, no, it was all fine. So or even that gives you kind of information. So to me, the feedback that you get from the team, if you get it constantly, so that's how you develop a good fighter. So it's constant feedback. All the trainings that you have in martial arts about kind of that you learn, control yourself better in those moments, and you become better by feedback. Getting punched in the face, next time you will not do that. When you succeed, you will be better. I would apply the same principles for leaders, that crave for the feedback constantly, but not only on like saying that, how did I do? But you can also express your own feelings about how you felt. So then they will understand, the team members will understand what you're talking about, and then they can comment on that. And then you kind of build your leadership instincts to be a better way to lead the team that you have there. And step by step, suddenly you notice that, hey, everything is going better. The team trusts you, and they're openly actually commenting on those moments when you were not even asking for feedback. And that's then when you start building success together.
I love that you specifically used the word instinct, because one of the things that I take notes during these whole shows, so I've got like a little notebook here full of all my scribblings and my ramblings. Can you learn the instincts that go with that, right? Because I imagine in a fight, if you had to consciously think about everything that you need to do instead of reacting in that split second and letting your instincts drive you, you would probably not be a very good fighter. And as a leader, if I have to constantly think about the capability of like, how do I consciously make these decisions? I think I would burn out on that if I had to think about every word that came out of my mouth, every decision that came across my desk. Can you develop these instincts? And if so, how?
Yeah, that's a really good and tough question. I do believe that you can develop instincts, but only with repetition and controlled environment. So the difference here is that I live in Finland, so we have plenty of forests here. So if I tell you that, hey, when you go to the forest and it's cold, so you can put on a fire and keep yourself warm. So you start understanding these things that, okay, when I go to the forest, so I should not feel cold. And you start absorbing what surroundings are there and seeing what you can apply there. The plenty of material that you can light the fire with, but then you start okay, I need to find this and that. So kind of those are the same instincts that I'm talking about that are more controllable for you, that you understand that you can apply in those moments. And the only way is that the test and learn and get feedback how they work. And suddenly you see your strengths, and those are then the instincts. The thing that I love when leaders are willing to learn is that they kind of go for courses and keynotes and learn kind of new principles and maybe new theories, but they would need to apply them in practice and test that, can they really use? Let's say we talk about emotional intelligence as an example. So how to read emotions and control your own emotions, but it's not the theory that makes you successful. It's how you apply it in practice. And there I see the similar, if we take the instincts, that when you talk to people, so you start seeing when you ask them, how did you feel, they'll give you input back. And then you can kind of compare with your own instincts that, did I actually read that emotion there in the room when I went, or was I totally off? And then with this repetition, I believe that you can develop your instincts to be better. Never perfect, but better, I'd say.
You know, one of the things that you talked about when we were getting ready to do this podcast was the importance of willing to do the inner work that it takes to become a better leader. What do you think is the biggest barrier that people have to overcome when it comes to doing the inner work?
Yeah, a really good question there, Alyssa. Many times we have this kind of either self-confidence issues into some direction. Either we kind of lack it or then we are overconfident. So we have to kind of, as a leader, take ourselves out of the equation. So it's not about us, it's about the team anyway. So we are leading people. So that's the start, to understand that as a leader, your purpose to be in that as a leader is to actually lead the team to better success. And with that step forward, so then you start saying, okay, what does the team need from me? How can I lead them? Sometimes it can be that it's not your strength, and you can then say that, hey, I'm not there yet. I will not be able to support you on this, but I will support you other ways. So kind of starting build with your own honesty and transparency, who you are, but still not kind of saying that, don't lose your self-confidence and say that you're not a good leader. You can become a good leader, and you can be in that situation anytime. Anybody can lead well in a situation, even if they're not competent as a leader. So start building kind of your self-confidence in the right way, and become a team leader who really cares for the team, is really working together with the team. And then you will start seeing, okay, what's required from you? And sometimes you demand from the team as well. I mean, anyways, as a leader, so you need to lead the team. So you can then start being kind of maybe more a leader who is also managing what's the output and outcomes as well, as much as you can.
You know, when you think back to some of the leaders that you've worked with or helped kind of do that inner work, who are ready to be committed to growth, what do you think is the biggest blind spot that they have once they've already started down this journey, but maybe haven't quite yet, quote unquote, achieved it?
Yeah, I think there are kind of times when everything goes well and then everything can go really, really south. I mean, so often when obstacles happen, those are the moments when you kind of have to reinvent yourself. Anything can happen. It can be a market situation, or team members leave and new people come. So I think those are the moments. So kind of when we get on a good track and then something happens. So those are the moments for growth, but also to kind of do something different. And what I've seen when I'm coaching others and myself as well. So I see that kind of those are the moments when you need to decide to become a better leader again, and kind of admit your mistakes and try to kind of tomorrow be the person that you wish you were before. COVID-19 hit, I think that was so tough for many of us, kind of that, okay, how do we change even the kind of, how do we lead people who were at the office and now working remotely fully on all those moments? So, but they are the kind of the places where you can become something else than you were never before.
So you wrote a book called The Black Belt in Leadership, and my copy is on its way in my Amazon cart headed to my house. I'm really excited to read it. But tell us more about this book. Why did you feel compelled to write it? And if someone picks it up, what can they expect to learn?
Yeah. The feedback that I got from the book is that it's different. So it's not about theories. It's more about practice and how you can actually practice every day to become better leaders. There are 20 lessons from martial arts that I've really tested in boardrooms as well. So they are not kind of only martial arts lessons. So I use metaphors from martial arts, explain how I felt in a fight, if I lost or kind of was in a mental block, and how I overcome that. And the feedback that I've got from that is that it's not a traditional leadership book. It actually opens up eyes differently to kind of from the stories that are there. And it has actually literary tools that you can apply every day. And I believe that leadership is not learned, or martial arts is not learned, by reading books. You need to apply them in practice. So this book will have those kind of real life practice lessons for you to test out and see what kind of a leader you are, and then really kind of push you out there to do something that you've never done before. If you have problems in being innovative, it will help you with that. Or if you're kind of afraid of confrontation or something, so it will have tools for that. Or if you are mentally blocked, so it will have tools for that. Or even Tetrising your life into balance. That's what I call kind of like that you can never have a kind of a perfect work-life balance, but like in a game of Tetris, you can expect some certain blocks to come, and then you kind of manage them better so that you're prepared of what's about to come, even if you don't know about what's going to happen in the future.
And I think it's really important too that you took something that was, I'm assuming, if you're at that elite level, an all-consuming part of your life, right? Your entire identity being a black belt martial artist. And instead of saying, like, I have to throw away everything I was before, you said, I'm going to take everything I was before and reimagine it, rethink it, rebuild it for everything I'm becoming now. And that was successful for you.
Yep, that is true. Maybe I was lazy to try out something else and just wanted to apply it in real life. But I noticed that it works. And then kind of I can apply the same principles that I was training since I was a kid. So I mean, that's then the reality that I'm living. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important because I see a lot of people go through transition and they think of themselves as like having to shed who they used to be in order to become who they will be or they are becoming. And we don't have to. We can still be the things that we cared about in our youth. We're just a little bit older now and maybe doing it in a different way.
Yeah, I do. And then again, like if I loved martial arts training that time, so I do love training now, but of course then the fighting career is over due to the injuries, but I can still live with the same principles and love that. And I mean, growth mindset and all these kind of principles are learned there, so you can apply them in real life as well and just find those kind of stories that align. And I love myself when people are talking about these crossovers, like you were starting with that, the sports professionals, so they can utilize their skills from the kind of training or discipline that they've learned and just apply them in different settings.
You know, considering all of the people that you know or aspire to know, who else is out there? Who else should we be listening to?
Yeah, lately a friend of mine, Josh Koshnick, he has the Spartan Leadership Podcast and wrote a book about Kairos methodology that he has built life. So, I mean, he is a great person to kind of go for and like understand the life balance and what you should be looking for. So kind of getting you maybe out of the just focusing on work, but seeing the bigger picture of life at the same time, but being successful at work as well. So Josh Koshnick is the person that I would advise people to go and listen to.
And if someone is interested in hearing more from you, they want to check out your podcast, get more information on your book, or just follow along with your thoughts and your thought leadership, where can they find you online?
Yeah, I'm the only Asak De Silva in the world, so you can find me quite easily there. On LinkedIn, I'm quite active. I'm happy to connect and have conversations there. TheBlackBeltInLeadership.com is then the website, and the book and the podcast are also named The Black Belt in Leadership, so it should be easy to find there, yeah.
Well, Asak, thank you so much for taking time to come on Taking Back Monday. This was a really inspiring conversation.
Thank you, Alice. It was my pleasure.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.